So as I mentioned to you, we have the great privilege and blessing this morning of hearing from Joy McAfee, who's the really the person who's gotten Together for Good up and running here in Rochester. Just a quick reminder that was it 2 years ago that things started? Almost three years ago. And for most of that time period, Together for Good has had offices here in our building, and then they've also been having some of the groups that have been meeting here during the week, a group on Tuesday morning, and for a little while we had a group on Wednesday morning that was here. Joy's going to probably give you an update on some changes with regard to that, but I'm just going to let her have the rest of the time, so give her your attention and be encouraged by how God's at work. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Give me just a minute. I'm going to regroup. All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's lovely to see you all braving the cold this morning. I live in Pine Island, so I also brave the somewhat ice-covered, snow-covered roads to get here, but God was good, and I drove slowly and carefully, and like you, made it so that we could be together this morning. It's such a privilege just to be able to talk to you today a little bit about an organization that really is doing tremendous things in working with families and children who are going through some stressful times in their life. Perhaps they're bumped up against a crisis, and I'm going to tell you more about that. As we go through, I'm going to share with you some slides so that you have a sense and an overview of kind of what we do, and I'm going to share with you a story about a mom and about some of the ways that we hope to come alongside and really to equip the church to come alongside vulnerable children and families in Christ-centered ministry. I should probably take just a minute to tell you a little bit about myself. I have a long story and don't want to spend a lot of time going through that today, but I am Joy McAfee. I am married. My husband is Glenn. We are helping with some worship development now for the last couple of months at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Rochester. We have four children. They're all adults, two by birth and two by adoption. Our younger two who were adopted, our daughter Aria was born in Romania, and she is in her 20s and has high-functioning autism. We have another daughter, Bethany, that was born in Vietnam, and Bethany was born with a number of congenital birth defects, and Bethany still lives at home with us. She's 23, but she's going to be graduating in May with her degree in surgical technology, so she's doing her clinical rounds at Mayo right now. Our family, you know, has had a long story. We've lived in a number of different places. When the girls came home, we lived in Des Moines, Iowa. We've also lived briefly in Michigan and then in several different places here in Minnesota. And when we lived in Northfield, where we lived prior to moving to this area, God really began to speak to our hearts as we looked out into the community and really thought, you know, we have done some hard things in terms of adopting kids with special needs, but I don't think that's the end of the journey for us. You know, and I think it's easy to become complacent and just say, yeah, you know, I did this hard thing and now I'm, you know, kind of going to go back to the easy road or just kind of avoid stepping out in faith in other areas. But we really began to feel God calling us to try to make a difference in the lives of vulnerable children. And so we became foster parents. And we fostered more than 25 children in the Northfield area for 9 years, up until 2016. And that was an amazing formational experience for our family, as well as for our children. And I'd love to tell you more stories about that if anyone is interested. Not long after we started doing that, because of my background in some other areas, I ended up being brought on by the state of Minnesota to be a trainer in counties that requested training for foster and pre-adoptive families. So for about 14 years, I have been teaching for up until this past year for the state of Minnesota. Now it's actually transitioned where technically I'm working for the University of Minnesota through their Advanced Studies in Child Welfare Center, which is part of their social work group. So that has been an interesting peek into the world from kind of that public governmental side. And then I became, you know, really interested, and God called me into this, I will call it the Christian ministry side of working with vulnerable children and families. And that started first with an organization. Some of you might remember Safe Families for Children. And now those who are on the staff there in Minnesota, we transitioned over to become our own organization where we could be fully gospel-centered, privately funded, so that we do not have the strings of government restricting what we can share about our faith and our hope. And this organization, which has now been officially established about 2.5 years ago, is Together for Good. And so what I'm going to do is just take a few minutes to go through an overview. But, you know, I think there's one more thing I want to share, and that is how thankful we are to Trinity. And you as members and attendees at Trinity, this means you individually, even if you have not, you know, had a individual touch point with Together for Good. I listed in my notes some of the things that Trinity has done to be able to further this gospel-centered ministry. You have given us office space, as Chris mentioned, up until very recently, and I'll tell you what's happening with that in just a minute. You have given us space to do family fellowship meals, where we invite the families we work with, and we also invite the volunteers to all come together with little delineation between the two and share a meal together, have sometimes some family activities together. You have welcomed us to do trainings. And we will be having another training for volunteers in February. So if that's something that after you hear the rest of what I have to share today, you're interested in, see Terry Medbury. She's kind of my point person here at Trinity. You have also helped us to host a parenting education class, which brought together Next Chapter Ministries, which works specifically with families that have been impacted by crime and incarceration. And Together for Good. And little did we know that God had even a bigger piece in mind. And on the very first day when we were going to start the parenting class last fall, we got a phone call from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And they said, you know, we have about 10 to 12 women who are mothers, and we would really like them to come to this parenting education class. We really don't offer, you know, that same type of opportunity in our faith-based program. And so with 2 hours notice and some scrambling to find enough food, because we did a lunch with childcare and then also this parenting group all fall here at Trinity, we were able to welcome and host 10 to 12 women who came every week from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, several women who were a part of Next Chapter Ministries, and several women who were part of Together for Good. And that really is a picture of what I want to share with you today. And that is the vision that we must come together as a church with a capital C. Come together as ministries and churches who are relatively like-minded and be able to step out and impact in ways that are greater than we try to do it, than, you know, when we try to do it just on our own. Ways that bring collaboration and bring really that Christian fellowship that I think we all long to have amongst both people within our congregation, but also people beyond our congregation. And as we serve, I think the biggest impact there has been for me has been I went into it to give, and I received. And that's something I would hope for each of you in the many different ministries that you are a part of, that you step in obedience to serve, but that in doing that, God actually changes your heart. like he's changed mind and blesses you in the friendships and the impact that you will have on families. And so that's something that's really very, very exciting to me. We have a new office, which is the only reason that we are no longer here. The last couple of weeks, we'll still be here to do bigger events and do trainings. But we have a new office. We share the building right next door to Next Chapter Ministries, which is owned by Next Chapter Ministries. And they have their women's ministry leader in that building part-time. But that really wasn't making the best use of that space because she was only there part-time and does a lot of work out in the field. And so they invited us to come in at very low cost and be able to do a partnership. And that was so beautiful because what ended up happening, these things all kind of were orchestrated very quickly by God, is that we also have hired Jessica LeFevre, who is their women's ministry coordinator, to be our resource coordinator. So she actually works for both organizations. And it's really going to be, I think, a great partnership as we work together with many families that cross over, you know, and can be a part of the ministries of Next Chapter and also part of the ministries of Together for Good. So let me share with you, I don't know if these slides will be dark enough, but hopefully they will be, as we kind of try to make all of these technical connections. But hopefully you can see that one of our key verses in Isaiah 1:17, and you know, Isaiah is a tremendously amazing book in the Bible. And from beginning to end, you know, in Isaiah, God is speaking to his people and saying, I am not interested in, and I'm going to put it into modern terms, you coming to church and showing up every Sunday, if when you go out during the week, you are not being fair or kind or ethical or reaching out to those in need. And that theme goes all the way through the book of Isaiah. And this verse comes from the beginning of Isaiah. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. And this verse really, in a nutshell, kind of sums up what our goals and vision are at Together for Good. This year in 2020, we're trying to focus on the first phrase, which is learn to do good. And it's kind of funny because we kind of think as Christians, and some of us have been believers for decades, don't we already know how to do this? You know, don't we already know how to do good? And I would say both yes and no. We know some ways to do good, but I believe just like God gives us new songs, as he talks about in Psalms, sing a new song to the Lord, he also gives us new ways to do good. And so I'm really finding that to be true even in Together for Good as we expand and realize, hey, here's another way that a volunteer could plug in and have an impact. Here's another need that a family has where we need to learn how to help, learn how to do good. And so that's the part that we are focusing on this year. Oh, sorry. I think this is on. Let me just jump out of here for just a second. I think we pulled up the wrong presentation. So just give me 2 seconds and I will fix this. If I can. Apologize for that. Okay, this is the presentation we should be seeing. So let's see if we can pull this up. All right. I apologize for that.
Our nation is experiencing an unprecedented child welfare crisis.
Okay, so sorry. You know, I always say that the forces of darkness are in technology because I believe what has happened here is the presentation got saved in the wrong spot. So let me just look here really quick and see if I can rectify this. Yep. That's what happened. Terry, maybe if you could just give me about 30 seconds, would you mind just talking about some of the extra resources that I brought that when people leave today, if they would like to pick them up, that they could? And just give me 1 second. Let's try it this way and see if this will work for us. I think it will. I apologize for that. That was an error where we saved over the file wrong. I want to tell you just a little bit of context as to what is really going on in our community, and this includes Rochester. Rochester is not immune to some of the problems that we are seeing across our nation in terms of child welfare and our national child welfare crisis. You can see some statistics here. Over 4 million referrals were made to child welfare agencies in 2017. It involved over 7.5 million children. And a statistic that I'm really not proud of, you know, when there's so much to be proud of in the United States, is that we lead the industrialized world in the levels of child maltreatment. Many people think about foster care, and, you know, foster care, I've been a foster parent. There is definitely a need and an appropriate use of foster care in certain situations where the children are just not able to be in a safe situation. But foster care statistics are not very positive, and that is concerning to me. 50% of children who have been involved in the foster care system never complete high school. 60% are dead, homeless, or in jail within 1 year of aging out of foster care. 80% of our prison population says that they have been involved in the child welfare system. 90% of commercially sexually exploited children, both young women and some young men, have had a part in the foster care system. And young women who have been involved in foster care are 600 times more likely to get pregnant by age 21. For me, those are very sobering statistics because I think about what a fabulous foster parent I was. And I don't mean that in a boastful way, but just thinking about how many people are really out there doing their best to provide excellent care for children as foster parents. You hear about the few that don't do so great because those make the media. But most people involved in foster care are loving families that want the very best for the children that they're caring for, and they hope the children will be able to go back and be in their family if there's any way to make that safe and possible. But regardless of that, these are the statistics. Now in Minnesota, I was really sobered as I was doing some of this research about a year ago to find out that in 2018, 79,000 and change children were subjects of reports, investigations, family assessments. And they came from everywhere, every county, every age, every demographic. And that number is truly hard to wrap for me anyway, hard to wrap my mind around. And I think for people who really haven't had a lot of involvement in the social services system, you know, you might be asking yourself, well, you know, who is really stepping in to help children that perhaps have been harmed or are in very risky situations? And the answer is through the counties and sometimes through law enforcement or other agencies. You know, people do their best to step in to intervene, but many times the families that are struggling have to struggle so hard and so long until harm has already occurred before action is taken. Our system, you know, almost 100 years old, was created really to step in after harm had occurred. It was not created to be preventative. And the hard piece with this is that there are a lot of families that haven't quite, I call it, stepped over the edge of the cliff, you know, but they're only maybe one or two steps away. And those families often find themselves vulnerable and alone because the kinds of crisis and stress that they're facing are not things that automatically qualify them to have some of the supportive services that are out there. Now, sometimes children do enter the foster care system. However, they oftentimes, by the time they come to the foster care system, are already very broken. I know this as a foster parent and having fostered for 9 years. Sometimes this is true about toddlers, and it's certainly true about older children and teenagers. In the United States, there are different statistics, and it's hard sometimes to wrap your minds around those as well, but the U.S. Children's Bureau says at least 42% of reports to child protection agencies were screened out. That means they just didn't rise to the level of that county or that state having the legal authority to really be able to step in and help. And so we have all of these families that really, I call them gray area families. We have all of these families that aren't really healthy and well functioning, but they're not absolutely abusive. In fact, some of them are not abusive at all, but they have other struggles that might, you know, show up and look like some unintentional neglect, some poverty issues, some perhaps substance abuse issues, those kinds of things. And there are all of these families in the middle. They're not families that need their children to be removed from the home to have foster care. But yet they're not healthy and well-functioning at the level that we want them to be, you know, at the level that we hope that all families can be. And so those are the families that oftentimes are put to the side. And it's because our system is overloaded. You know, our system is trying to help the most egregious cases of child abuse and child neglect. And I'm not against that. It's just a natural result of looking at the systems that we put in place and the financing that has been there. Families so often are at risk because of social isolation. I don't know if you've thought of this, or for some of you, I know you're moms, you know, and moms especially that have a couple little ones, and especially in Minnesota where the weather can be so extreme for so many months at a time, it is very easy to become socially isolated. If you're not someone who's already involved in a church family or involved in preschool kinds of activities, things like that, being isolated is a very common occurrence, and so many of these families are single parents, almost always moms. Not always because of bad choices that they made, many times for reasons such as they decided to get out of domestic violence or other kinds of situations. And so that is a piece that is concerning, because we know that research tells us that social isolation is the top risk factor for future abuse and neglect. And so we know that that is something we need to pay attention to. So out of all of this complexity, Together for Good was born you know, to be able to come alongside many of these gray area families or other families that clearly love their kiddos, but they're in situations that make it difficult to be able to thrive as a family. We want to come alongside those families and create pathways for volunteers in churches to be able to minister to these families. Together for Good is not just another program, and what makes it really stand out is that we are really about developing healthy relationships. Now, there is a significant component of what we do that is about providing emotional support and encouragement and providing some practical help in small ways. But what really makes a difference across time is developing healthy relationships. Are the families that we serve with the volunteers that come alongside to get to know them. These are our objectives. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want you to see, you know, if we could put it into 5 bullet points, what is it that we most hope to do? We want to reduce that social isolation. We want to prevent child abuse and neglect, and that's hard to prove. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And we want to promote family preservation. We do not want to see families broken up if it is not necessary. The research tells us that children who have to be removed from their family and go into foster care, and sometimes that is needed, but the outcomes are not as positive as we had hoped when that system was first invented. So promoting family preservation, we want to reduce adverse childhood experiences. And that means as difficult things happen to children when they're young, as they grow into adulthood and even throughout the entire lifespan, research shows that they have many, many more problems. Physical problems like heart disease, cancer, also psychological issues, which you might guess, things like anxiety and depression, and difficulty adjusting with ultimately a very reduced lifespan, can be reduced up to 20 years. And so that's something that we want to pay attention to. And then the last one, which is really the most important, is providing relational opportunities for building resiliency and hope. That's really the heart of what we are trying to do. We have some other objectives. One of them is to partner with agencies that are out there. We definitely want to partner with Christian agencies, but we also strive to partner with county agencies or other secular agencies that we know offer voluntary help to families that are facing some kind of a difficult space in their life. And so we really work to know our resources and be able to refer families. We want to develop church teams that look at the big picture. And this is one thing that I love about Terry and her many years of helping to develop teams that think about adoption, that think about foster care, and also think about Together for Good or other groups that come alongside families before they get to the very, very edge of the cliff in terms of stability. We also want to develop a culture of service within the church and outside of the church. Trinity is a church that is known for serving in the community, for being involved in organizations that work with families or children or those who are incarcerated, or we could name, you know, some of those different groups. But that's not true of every church. Some churches are very inwardly focused, and so we want to continue to build that, both caring for those within our midst and then caring for those that are beyond the walls of the church. The other thing that is maybe unique about Together for Good compared to some opportunities to serve is that there are many ways where a whole family can serve together. For example, we host children, which means a child may come to your home for a few hours while a parent has a prenatal medical appointment and the older siblings have no one to watch them. A child might come to your home for a weekend while a parent is moving from the old apartment to the new apartment, and it's just too tricky to have, you know, this little one underfoot. And sometimes there are a couple of little ones, and sometimes we use more than one host family. And our hope in 2020 as we move forward is that we begin to find some more families out there who would consider caring for a child in your own home while a parent is doing something big. I'm talking about things like being a part of the faith-based program at Adult and Teen Challenge, or a parent facing homelessness, where we know because of the housing crisis in Rochester that it will probably take a minimum of several months before that parent will have stable housing. We want to be thinking kind of on all levels about ways that we can serve both families, parents, and children. So crisis care is one way. Respite care is the word we use for those short-term kinds of connections that we plan ahead, you know, and don't come from the urgent side of things. And then we also do relational ministry. And those are some of the things I mentioned that we've done right here at Trinity, like the fellowship meals where we get families together. In fact, I think I have a picture here of one of the relational ministries. This is a mom's lunch, but let me show you the next picture. This is in your church nursery, so you probably recognize it. And this is a picture one day of our parent-child enrichment group. So we have a group that meets every Tuesday. It's several moms who are volunteers, so hopefully pretty healthy and well-functioning. They bring their little children, and then several moms that we work with who are available on Tuesday mornings, and they bring their children. And we've seen some beautiful, beautiful relationships develop out of this group. We're doing some mentoring. We just don't use that word, you know, and we do just encouragement, just friendship, just, you know, reducing some of that social isolation to say, yeah, I'm having trouble with potty training too. You know, what worked for you? You know, what kind of ideas can we share? And so I just want to thank you, Trinity, for giving us the opportunity. This group has been going for about 2 years, and it really is one that is beginning to, I think, have a long-term impact. One of the verses that sometimes people talk about when we're thinking about this type of ministry that Together for Good does is James 1:27. And most of you probably know this verse or have come across it as you've studied the Bible. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And if we had more time, I would love to unpack that. You know, I would love to be able to unpack with you some of the aspects of understanding in that time period what it was like to be an orphan and what orphans look like today. You know, I adopted two children who came from other countries. They were not orphans in the sense of having no living parents. And so often children that, you know, where we use the terminology orphan, they do sometimes have one living parent, even when we're thinking about missions work in other countries. In America, sometimes we say, well, an orphan, we know it, that's a child that has no parents and has no one to care for them. But really, so much of our population are social orphans, meaning there's only one parent, or there's no parent that's really stepping up and doing what parents need to do. And so that really began to open my eyes to thinking about that, I think, in the context of our world today. And the same thing with the word widow. You know, in broadening that context just enough to think about what God's intention was when he, you know, when he gave this in James, what is a widow? you know, a woman who has no support from a man. We know so many of the children that we work with, in a sense, are fatherless. Sometimes they're literally fatherless. Sometimes they just have no contact with a father. Sometimes there's a father, but he's not acting in a way that a father should. And so that really helped to broaden my lens in thinking about what God was calling us to when he said, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. When we visit, we're not trying to fix everything. And that's kind of a tricky piece, you know, because we come at it with good hearts and we want to fix the families that we're working with. And we have to be careful because the Bible says to visit. And the beautiful thing about visiting is in Scripture, many times when God visited himself or through the Holy Spirit or through an angel, he visited, he brought light into a situation. And that is what we do as volunteers. We bring light, we bring hope, we bring some practical help into situations so that ultimately we can begin to just shine that light in ways that people are asking us, why would you do this? Why are you helping me? You know, what is it about your faith? When this world is so mixed up and all about doing things for yourself, would make you want to give your time, give your money, you know, give your prayers to a person like me. And I hear that all the time. It's really, really, really touching. So today, I want to make sure I honor our time, and we're about at the end of our time. I do, Terry, did you have a chance to pass out the sheet? So you have, hopefully, each of you, a sheet in front of you that gives you just a bullet point list of some of the ways that you might be able to plug in or to think about encouraging, endorsing, and sharing about Together for Good. And I really want you to be able to take that with you. And I want to just give you, as we finish, just a couple of possibilities of, you know, ideas of how you might want to respond. So one response would be to pray for Together for Good. Your prayers are coveted. We believe in prayer. We are a prayer-oriented organization, even though we meet people wherever they are. So the families we work with, we meet them wherever they are on that spiritual spectrum. So please pray for us. Take home this flyer and maybe put it on your refrigerator. You know, put it up on your refrigerator and just see if God speaks to you about any particular aspect of ministry that might be something you would be interested in. If you see something right away that you think, I want to know more about that, would you sign the clipboard? There's somewhere here there is a clipboard, and Terry will have it available in the back, I think. Go ahead. Oh, sure. Sure. So in the back, if you would just like to have coffee with me, you know, or come into the office and let us just chat with you a little bit about some of the opportunities, we would love to do that. And the last thing is just please share about Together for Good with others. Please share. And we do have some brochures. I didn't bring, you know, a huge stack, but we have some brochures that are about being a volunteer. Those are the more bluish colored ones, Terry. And then we have some brochures that are for referring a family. Maybe you know a family right now that could benefit from some of the things on that flyer that you're looking at. Those are all things that we do as a part of our ministry and Together for Good. We would so appreciate you being able to share some of those things with families around you. And I know that's already happened at Trinity. There have been several families that we've been able to connect to. So I just want to thank you today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for wanting to learn how to do good, as we read about in Isaiah. And blessings blessings as you step forward in every area of ministry, not just this ministry, but every area of ministry. You know, as you grow with God and as you grow with understanding how He connects us with people and how valuable the life of each and every child, each and every parent. And I'm finding that so many of those parents were the hurt child now grown up. Each and every individual is precious to God. And so thank you so much for embracing that picture of life. Let's close together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so humbled to come to you today, knowing the little that we have to give and yet knowing how you allow us to be your hands and feet. And Father, I do just really authentically pray today that you would speak to the hearts of each person, that you would point them in the direction of service that you want them to go, and that they would quickly see you at work in the world and want to join you. And Father, I thank you so much for Trinity and all that they have done to support the work that we have done. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.